Good morning, brothers and sisters. We are in Hebrews 11 this morning once again, looking at verses 13 and 16. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. I invite you to turn there and follow along. Beginning in verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." This is God's word. This morning we look here at this summary. The author is summarizing what we have seen thus far. You recall that we began by looking at the definition of faith at the beginning. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We looked at God's power in creation, that by faith God created the worlds. And then we looked at Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah. We'll be returning to Abraham in the verses that follow, but here there's a bit of an intermission. He wants us to understand the point of these other accounts. And verse 13 makes the basic point here of the section. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them." So they didn't receive these promises. Well, what promises is he talking about? Well, there was various promises like the promised land that they were to receive. None of them received the promised land. And none of them saw the promises of the great nation to come. They had all died before that took place, except they did see Isaac. But more than that, the author is telling us that they didn't receive the promises of the new covenant in its fullness. They had not seen what was to come fully. They were by faith waiting. They were by faith sojourning. But they had not received what we were to receive. Now this becomes evident if you look at verses 39 through 40 of the chapter. It's the very end of Hebrews 11, which we'll eventually get to. But take a look at verse 39. It says, "These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." That takes you all the way up to the very last years of the Old Testament. They did not receive the promise. "God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Well, the point here becomes, and over again in Hebrews, the point is, the new covenant is superior. Christ is the great prophet, the great king, the great priest who has come. And so we, standing on the other side of the cross and the resurrection and the ascension, we see these promises in a much greater light. They're much more clear to us. We see them. We have received these promises. And so there is a difference between these Old Testament saints and us in terms of our standing point in history. It says that the prophets in 1 Peter, they were longing to see and to know what the Spirit of Christ was telling about the coming of Christ in the future. They wanted to see it. And my friends, we get to see it. We have it in the Scriptures set forth in its fullness. So there's a difference between us, between the saints of the Old Testament and where we stand. However, there are a lot of similarities. That's the whole reason these characters are brought out. And so I want to focus more on the similarities this morning for us between these saints that we've talked about thus far and ourselves. And mainly what I want to see is what verse 16 says. It says, "They now desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." And from this verse, I want us to see two things about faith. First of all, God bestows the greatest honor upon those who look to him in faith. God bestows the greatest honor upon those who look to Him in faith. Secondly, to live a life of faith, we must renounce the world and look to the heavenly kingdom. So first, God bestows the greatest honor upon those who look to Him in faith. It says, "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." This is the highest honor imaginable, to be called by the name of God and for God to identify Himself as our God. We know that this is seen in the Old Testament as well, Exodus 3. You remember when the Lord appears to Moses. How does He identify Himself? He says, "I am the God of thy father, of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." He calls Himself by the name of these men who were insignificant in the world's eyes, but were very precious to God, such that God would identify Himself as their God. He's not ashamed to be called their God. And so first, this is the first thing we see, that by faith we have the greatest honor bestowed, that God is called our God. Secondly, to live a life of faith, we must renounce the world. This is obvious in verse 16, but also in verse 15. Notice verse 15, it says, "Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country." The text tells us that they weren't mindful of the country they went out from. They weren't worried about it. It was not their focus. It was the heavenly country that they were looking to. They wanted a better country. They were not worried about the loss of earthly possessions or land. They were not worried about these earthly things. They looked to a kingdom that lasted forever. And this teaches us that the life of faith is a life of renouncing the world, turning away from these things as our greatest value, and setting our chief treasure on God Himself and on the reward of being with Him. The life of faith changes everything. No longer do we see the world's trappings as our chief treasures. Everybody else in this world is hoarding, 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 trying to attain earthly bliss. And that pleasure, that satisfaction always leaves them. It never lasts. But when our eyes are open to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, then we see rightly. Then we know what is of true value. As Jesus' parables tell us, the kingdom of heaven is the pearl of great price. It is worth selling everything else you have to receive. It is the hidden treasure. It's worth selling all of your possessions to buy the field in which that treasure is hidden. And it says in those parables that when he learned of the hidden treasure, for joy he went and sold everything he had. It was out of joy he saw this kingdom. He saw something better. He saw the chief treasure. And so, by faith, as we live by faith, as we grow in faith, the things of this world grow dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And the things of God become brighter and brighter and brighter to us. I imagine that the saints of the Old Testament sometimes did value their earthly possessions. I'm sure Abraham sometimes did value the things that he owned. But ultimately, by faith, what was of greatest value was God Himself and the heavenly kingdom that He was to inherit. So we also join the saints of the past in renouncing the world, setting our chief joy and treasure upon God. One of the hymns that we sometimes sing is, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." One of the verses there exactly encapsulates what I'm talking about. It says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." As we turn our eyes to Jesus by faith, the things of this world are so fleeting, so insignificant compared to the inheritance of the heavenly kingdom. So we do confess this morning that the trappings of this world still tug on us a little bit. They pull us in a little bit. We're sometimes tempted. We're wondering sometimes, are the fleeting pleasures of sin that fleeting? Maybe they're a little better. But because our eyes have been opened, because we know better than that, we know the answer that these things will not fully satisfy. And so we pray that God would not make us mindful of the country that we leave, that we would be as the saints of old who did not care about leaving these things behind. They were not important in light of the inheritance that God had promised. So brothers and sisters, let us look to the better country and set our eyes on things that are of much greater value than the things that we have here. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for the inheritance we have by faith, and that you have bestowed this honor upon us that you call yourself our God. We pray, O Lord, that the things of this world would grow dimmer to our eyes, that we would not be impressed by them, that we would be not drawn in by them. And we confess that sometimes we have set a higher value on those things. We ask, O Lord, that you would set our mind on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand, at your right hand. And we ask, Lord, that these things would be of greatest value to us. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.